In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Well, here we are getting ready for Holy Week. It's hard to believe that next Sunday is Palm Sunday. But that's very clear. We have readings like this, and you know Holy Week is getting near. Now, many of the commentaries will sit there and tell you that this is a very good time to talk about the idea of resurrection. And we will talk a little bit about that. But you've also heard me speak in the past and say, every time I read the Bible, I find something new. You've heard this especially if you've been to the Bible study. I mean, this is something that we were talking about just this last week. And I find it so again today. It's very interesting. You know, we used to have a phrase in the steel mills when we would see some motor inspector or millwright that actually knew, had the knowledge of what he was doing, but could never quite complete the job. We used to say they had all the knowledge in their head and couldn't get it to their hands. And they did. They were intelligent people. They knew what they were doing, but they couldn't actually do it. They could tell somebody how to do it, and that other person could do it, but they couldn't. I kind of see a little bit of that with Mary and Martha. Martha, you know, this is the second time we hear of Martha, and the first time is, of course, when Martha is serving everybody and running around and being very hectic and trying to be the perfect person, the perfect servant, the perfect host. Meanwhile, Mary's sitting at Christ's feet, not doing anything. Martha, of course, gets mad. You've got this instance later, and Martha has very clearly grown. You see, at this point, she knows who Christ is, right? She knows that he's the Messiah. She goes to him willingly. She even knows and says, Lord, I know, had you been here, Lazarus would not have died. So there was a faith that was there. But it was a faith that seemed to all be in Martha's head. She believed, but she wasn't quite there yet. You also see the fact that in response to Martha's concerns, Jesus really doesn't move from where he's at. He doesn't weep. He doesn't really do anything other than speak with Martha a little bit. And yet Martha goes back and tells Mary. Mary, of course, being the woman the seven demons were cast out of, the one who washed the feet of Christ. She immediately hears that crying, running out of the house. Of course, that was actually Jewish custom. The whole community mourned. You wailed and tore your garments and beat your chest and showed how miserable you were. They had professional mourners. And when these people would run out of the house, they'd all go to the cemetery and cry. But the cemetery isn't where Mary went, is it? She ran directly to Christ. And it says knelt, but I'm guessing it was probably something more like a sliding stop. But she knelt at Christ's feet, weeping. And in response to her weeping, what does Christ do? He's empathetic and weeps as well. Showing the great compassion of Christ, the mercy of Christ. Mary, unlike Martha, seems to have this. Now, mind you, these are my own reflections on this, but Mary seems to have somehow processed all of what Christ has said and done, and it is not simply head knowledge for her. It has actually changed her life. So much so that for her, it's not about weeping, it's not about anything other than Christ. Everything, all in all, is in Christ. And we see a bit of that in the second reading today from Paul when he's talking about you either live by the flesh or you live by the Spirit. Those that live by the flesh can't live by the Spirit and are hostile to God. There are numerous instances of that. That is actually what Mary was before she had her encounter with Christ. That encounter changed her so dramatically that, unlike her sister, it is not simply knowledge in her head. It has become the very core of her being. It is why, when she hears her master's voice, she knows that she can run to him and have every tear wiped away. She knows that even though her brother is dead, Christ has but to say a word and he will live again. As opposed to Mary, or as opposed to Martha. We go to the tomb itself, and what does Martha say? Oh, don't roll that stone away. He's already been in there for 4 days. It's going to smell really bad. Really? So that's what it was. Lazarus was raised up as a zombie, rotting flesh, dirty smell. I find that very hard to believe. I think it more likely Lazarus' body didn't see any corruption because God was glorified. Wrapped up like a mummy, Christ commanded to have the bonds cut from him. God was glorified. Now, the point of all of this isn't to say that Mary's lifestyle is better than Martha's. There are two different spots in the same path. You see, we have to begin to gain head knowledge about who Christ is before we can actually go forward, before we can actually be changed. How do they know the good news if no one has been sent to tell them? These are things that I had actually noticed on this reading. I had never noticed before the interaction between Mary and Martha and Christ. I had never caught on to that. And for some reason, it struck me so profoundly. And I can see those parts in my life, and I'm sure that you can too. That you've got this part that actually has the knowledge that's in your head, but that you don't really rely on or can't really rely on. You can't get it to your hands. You can't get it exactly into your life to reach out into the world. And then there comes a point that you end up like Mary, allowing something in that changes our lives forever. Had a guy that actually came to talk to us at Neshota House, and he was a Jew, and he said he had heard this story from one of his friends who had a young Jewish son, and the son asked the father, "Father, why do we always wear part of the Torah over our hearts?" And the father says, "Well, son, it's because the heart of a human is a very hard, rigid, unyielding thing. We wear the Torah over our heart because when our heart finally cracks, the Word of God can come in and change us." That's played out right there in that gospel reading with Mary and Martha. And I think it's something that we need to consider and think about, and we don't do it often enough. But as we enter into this Holy Week, as we walk through the trail of Christ's crucifixion, death, and resurrection, I encourage you to consider what you've heard today, what you see in the gospel readings through the week. And not just listen and get it into our heads, but into our very hearts. Allow our beings to be changed. Have a blessed Holy Week.